Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one show to bring you all things Club America in English, from tactical analysis to player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, I'm going to be breaking down Club America's 2-0 victory in the Clásico Capitalino, and as well, we're going to be previewing the matchup against Toluca. So we got plenty of Club America to talk about and a couple of important news along the way. But to join me today to do all of that is none other than Anaheim's favorite resident, Chris Rivera. Chris, welcome back.
You think I'm actually Anaheim's favorite resident, bro? Mike Trout is from here too, you know?
Well, he plays here. He's not had the best of season, so I think you're slowly scaling right up there, you know?
Hopefully, man. I would like to beat the GOAT in that, but highly doubtful.
I'll keep cheering for you. And returning back to the podcast for his long, and I mean very long, hiatus, it is none other than the man who funds the podcast himself, Mr. Christian Rosendo. Christian, finally glad that we're able to get you out of the casino.
It hasn't been that long, has it? When's the last time I was here?
I don't know, dude. Like the clausura of last year.
I had
year.
To be before the final, no? I think I remember coming on before the final.
This is your debut this year?
His debut
this,
my
this debut
year.
This year. Yes. This is my
As
debut.
Of 2025, this is Christian's first podcast.
What are we? Yeah, we're like eight games in, and I'm just coming on now.
Nine, actually. We're about to play the ninth.
I'm sorry, guys. It's just the stars finally aligned for me to make an appearance, but I'm happy to be here, happy to hang out with my boys and talk about the best thing in the world, which is Club America. And some hot takes. I think we're going to have a little bit of hot takes tonight, so I'm excited.
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of discussion to be said on the table in regards to this game against Pumas. And I think when we talk about the Toluca game as well, there's a couple of things that I think we're all going to want to see in regards to this America side. Because honestly, it's a really turbulent week next week, right? You have Toluca, then you have midweek CONCACAF Champions Cup against Chivas, then you have the Clásico, then you have another midweek match. So a lot of stuff going on, and I guess a lot of conversation to be had about what we want to see from this America side. And we might as well just start where we left off, which is the Clásico Capitolino. Coming into this game, gentlemen, it felt like America needed to get something after the poor couple of results that we were having, right? León didn't go our way. Necaxa didn't go our way. The draw against... Who am I missing here? It was Necaxa. And then...
The LAFC game?
The LAFC game, obviously. But that one was a pointless friendly. But still, you never like to go home with a loss. So these past 2 weeks for America weren't really tracking in the way that we wanted them to. So this game was important. Not just that, but it's a Clásico, Chris. And we always talk about Clásicos being so important, and how these games are must-win games, regardless of what's going on, right? A Clásico, and especially the way that we handled Clásicos last season. You know, we didn't win all of them. We were so used to winning them all, and so we kind of got humbled in that sense. Coming into this game, what were you guys expecting from this America side to kind of turn things around?
Christian, did your... Returning, sure. Honestly,
but Ivan, like you said, the past couple of weeks haven't been going in our favor, right? And I think while we've been playing well, I think our finishing has been a key point to point out in the past couple of weeks. I wanted to see America more clear in the final third. We see us get chances, but it's when it comes down to that final third, that last decision making. We seem to be lacking, whether it be, Henry and in some aspects, Brian Rodriguez, I think, being the main player of topic that we're going to say his name a lot. It's just really boneheaded decisions, like I've been telling you guys, that I've been seeing from the front three these past recent weeks. So I want to see a little bit more clarity, a little bit more concrete decision making, and just putting some away. And I think you know, I think personally speaking, I was a little frustrated after the game because I did this game could have been a 3-4, even maybe even 5-goal game for us. But things didn't pan out. And I think it has to do a lot with that final third decision making that we just seem to be lacking as of this moment.
And it's crazy to think about that, right? The lack of finishing in the final third. When we were coming off a hot streak, Chris, of scoring 3-4 goals back to back in like 3 consecutive matches. And I guess now the question is, where did that go? Is it because we're playing against much better opponents? Is it our forwards are being rusty? Is there a dip in form? Personally, what do you think is causing these issues of not being able to score as many goals, even though we're still creating as many chances?
Well, I think there's it's not a big things, but it is a lot of things that you kind of have to highlight. I think there is a. I'll start with the 9, right? I think you start with Davila, who plays a certain way, and then you go with Henry. It, maybe, you know, there's this disconnect between them and the wingers. Like Christian said, we're going to probably highlight Brian Rodriguez a lot, but my issue isn't necessarily a talent issue. It's more of a, damn, bro, you did everything right except look up and, like, you know, at the right time. And that's my biggest thing with him, right? You see that shot he missed against Pumas, where it's just like, man, if you look up just a little bit early, it's a goal guaranteed. Same thing with his crosses. You see a guy wide open and he looks like super late, and then the defender's already there or went over the guy. And so there's things to highlight, you know. But right now I was kind of thinking, you know, it's pretty funny to look at this America play, because I don't know if you guys agree, but it kind of reminds me of Jardines' first season, right? Quiñones was super frustrating early on, right? How many shots did he miss? And so did Diego Valdez, and so did Henry. And even in those games, we still won very comfortably, but it was still very frustrating to see these opportunities go to waste. And, you know, right now that's kind of how America feels. Even the defense, right? Jardines' team wasn't great defensively in that first season until Igor came in and Ramon Juarez started to play, right? Same thing right now. You kind of feel the defense is the reason why maybe it's closer than it should be. And it's good. I'm curious to see how exactly we end up getting better, because I don't think we're going to downgrade or, you know, decline from this. I think we're going to continue to get better weekly, regardless of little mishaps that we've been having.
I agree. I do think that there is much room for improvement, but it can only get better from this point out. And I think that's something that is being echoed around the club right now, is especially with this long week that America is taking advantage of, is, all right, let's rest. Let's kind of figure out our form and our tactic, and let's get better. There's a couple of things that we need to tweak in order to get to where we want to be. Now, let's talk about, I guess, the elephant in the room that we can continue to keep mentioning, Brian Rodriguez. We knew that coming into the season, he was going to be our only true natural left winger. And we had our debates and our ups and downs as to whether or not it was a good thing that we didn't bring in a reinforcement and whether or not it was capable of doing so. Regardless, the fact is America didn't get any reinforcement for that left-hand side. Now, I know Victor Dávila could potentially play in that side. Buffalo Aguirre, I guess, could, you know, put himself in that position. Javairo, Sendejas, but really no one naturally that wants to play that left wing. Do you think Brian Rodriguez's issue is that he just feels the fact that he's always going to get that starting 11 role because he is the only natural left winger that slots into Andre Jardines' system? Or do you think it's something else? Or do you think this is just kind of Brian Rodriguez's ceiling when it comes to finishing in the final third? Because let's face it, this is exactly why LAFC fans were so frustrated against him, was that it wasn't the talent. It wasn't the fact that he wasn't talented enough to be a starting player. It was the fact that his end product just wasn't never consistent, and it was never there, and it was always so frustrating. And we're starting to see glimpses of that again under America, that he's continuously having these issues of, hey, you're getting yourself in great positions and you're getting yourselves in spots where you can either score or assist, but it's just not happening. What do you think's going on there, Christian?
I mean, this is the Brian Rodriguez we've kind of known, and I think we highlighted it a lot last season where he goes on these spells where for such a five games, he is probably the best left winger in the whole league, and he can do no wrong. He's making the right choices. He is so dangerous. And then you have these spells of five games where it's like, dude, this guy needs to be benched. This guy needs to be sold. This guy needs to, you know, guess up that at halftime. And it just, that's just what Brian Rodriguez is. And Ivy, you mentioned that's why LAFC fans were so, I guess they weren't happy, but they were kind of like, okay, well, you know, it's not a really huge loss because we know the inconsistency of this player can bring. When he's on, he's on. And we have to admit, he is definitely one of the top players in the league when he is on. But when he is off, you see the team kind of suffer. And it's just annoying because we know how dangerous and the threats that he poses going forward. But when it comes down to it, in these important games in these next couple of weeks, you know, one play, one pass, one shot can make the difference in these close games that we're going to have, right? So we need him on his A game. And maybe it's a good thing he's getting his rust off now so he can be better in the upcoming games. But it really was frustrating seeing Brian Rodriguez in these past couple of weeks, especially in this game. Because like I said earlier, this game, we really could have scored 3 or 4 goals against Puma, especially them being down to 10 men. We should have taken more advantage.
Yeah, he definitely could have just iced the game in his 1v1 against the goalkeeper. And he had a similar chance against Oscar Jimenez in the Leon game. It's like rinse and repeat. It's frustrating, absolutely frustrating. But I hope you're right, Christian. I hope it is a sense of, hey, let's get this rustiness out now that we can. Because let's be honest, he's going to be such a crucial player for us going forward. And again, it's not that we're doubting his talent. I mean, I think he has one of the best first touch in the league, honestly. The way that he brings the ball down, the way he controls it. Tremendous winger that can hug the line and just kind of spread the field. But it's that final end product that, again, is frustrating time and time again. So I do think that we do hopefully not have to have a conversation about Brian Rodriguez again in the upcoming weeks. But it was something concerning to have in regards to what we saw against Pumas and definitely what we saw against Leon, which, you know, didn't fill us with much confidence. Chris, is there a backup plan if Brian Rodriguez doesn't pick it up? Do you think that there is kind of like a break in case of an emergency situation?
You know, I think they just stick with him, honestly, even if he's not performing. Because I don't think his performance is that bad to say we bench or change the formation. It's just simply he needs to work on certain things. But, you know, going back to the LAFC thing, you know, I think this is just who he is. I think we all agree that he's super talented, but he has these mental issues that stop him from being even better than what he already is, you know? And like I said, he is a good player. It's not like I have these major issues, but it is frustrating to see, you know, watch him play. And you see someone just open and he just looks up way too late. Or he could shoot from a certain distance, but he doesn't take that shot because, you know, he doesn't look up. He just sees the goalkeeper coming at him way too late. And that's the most frustrating thing for me. I think he's a very good second left wing. I think if he were to be benched and be rotated, I think that's a really good spot for him. But as a starting winger, that's where I'm just kind of hesitant to say, you know, that's, you know, I think, like, I'm not going to sit here and say he's a reason why we've lost games because it's not that bad. But he is a reason why we don't win more games by 3 or more goals, right? And that's the frustrating part. And then I don't know if Davila is necessarily the answer on that left side because we haven't seen as much as of him on that left side. And I really don't want to see Aguirre on that left side just because of what I've seen in Monterrey. I think he should just stick to the 9 and be a 9 that roams instead of sticking to a certain wing, you know? To answer your question, I don't know if there's a solution, but I don't think it's a major problem to have either.
Yeah, I guess we're not going to press that panic button just yet in regards to Brian Rodriguez. And look, we're talking about a guy who ended up having an assist in this game and could have had a second assist if Israel Reyes would have scored that first header that he had in the box. So it's not to say that the end product isn't there necessarily. It's just it needs to be refined and tweaked in order to, like you mentioned, Chris, help us kind of expand that goal margin of 2, 3, 4 goals and kind of stat pad in that sense. And I know we're talking about it and we're complaining about the fact that this America side was struggling these past couple of weeks and we weren't scoring as many goals and just kind of the results weren't really going our way. But honestly, if you're looking at the statistics of it all, and Chris, I know you're not a fan of these statistics sometimes. America sits as second on the table, correct? I might be wrong because I know they're playing midweek matches right now.
Yeah, it's León.
No, you're right.
León.
And not only are we sitting in second place, we're the second best offense in the league and the best defense in the league as things stand right now. I know it's a midway point. Can't really celebrate anything at this point. But I guess, Christian, there's some signs of progression, right? And especially if we're comparing to what we saw last season in the Apertura where we were just flat out terrible. I mean, I guess this is something to be happy about.
No, definitely. If you compare from this season to last season, I 100% agree there's definitely an improvement. And I feel like we're projecting our frustration in the wrong way. I do agree with you guys. We have been playing well. I think every single game we've played this season, I think we've played well. Even the Necaxa game where we lost, even the Leon game where we tied, I still think we played well. It's just that you look back at those games and you look at the clear chances that we've had, and it's like we could do so much better. And we could take that as a negative, we could take that as a positive, right? As a negative because, well, you know, we didn't get two results that we should have either drawn against Necaxa and we should have beaten León, right? But you could use that as a positive also saying that the team hasn't touched the ceiling yet and, you know, the best is yet to come. And hopefully with these next couple of games, we have a very tough match this Saturday against Toluca and we have three Clásicos in a row, right? So hopefully in one of those games, we can really show our true potential and then kind of, like, you know, take that and carry that to the rest of the season. But I do think that, you know, so the front three needs a little bit of fine tuning and hopefully we get there. And once we get there, I think we are a strong contender once again for the title.
And what better way to refine themselves than by having game after game after game, right? Opportunity after opportunity. And hopefully we take these opportunities and bury those chances. And hopefully a week or two pass by and now we're having a different conversation as to, you know, How's it that we're going to continue to keep scoring all these goals rather than how are we going to refine ourselves into finally scoring? So it's, I guess, apples and oranges if you want, in a sense, but right. Promising nonetheless. And I guess 3 points at the end of the day is very good. Let's talk about some positives from this game because I think we've been very much on the negative side of things. Let's talk about some positives. What's one thing that you walk away from this game that you're very content about, Chris?
I like the fact that this was a physical game and we performed because I don't know if you guys remember, but we got kind of exposed, maybe was it last season, I think, to these like physical games where it's like we couldn't react. I think it was when was the CONCACAF Champions Cup against Pachuca? It was last season,
year,
right?
But it's like, yeah, like literally last year, like around this time.
Yeah. So that's when Pachuca was exposing us to these tight games where they were just hitting us. And so was Real Esteli, and so was Pumas. And I feel this game, even though it wasn't necessarily this super physical game, I think there was some physicality to it, just like every other derby we have against Pumas. And I like the way we reacted. I think that's one thing that I kind of criticized Jardine is that whenever we got punched in the mouth, it just felt like they were just shocked. Like, oh my God, like, how could that happen, right? And I know a lot of people are going to point out the red card, but I don't think the red card really made a difference. I think the game continued how it was going, you know, before the red card. So for me, you know, that's a plus for me. And especially when you're, like I said, we're going to step into Champions Cup soon, right? And those are the type of games that you're going to face. I know we might not face a Central American team or a Caribbean team, but like either way, a Chivas game, a Cruz Azul game, a Tigres game, potentially all those games, they're going to be super physical. And the fact that you have these type of games early on against a Pumas, I think that's a very big positive, at least for me.
All right. I like it. Yeah, the physicality game. America wasn't really fazed by it, and we came out on top. Christian, your one good thing about this match?
Diego Valdez. I really enjoyed
you his, liked him?
His entry. Huh?
You liked him?
I did.
I did not like him at all. Okay.
I did. I think that he's starting to gain back just a little bit of confidence. I think he might be a key important player heading into these Clásicos because we all know how much Diego Valdez loves to play against Chivas. And he could be an interesting option coming off the bench for, I guess, Chiquito Sanchez. Whenever things aren't going his way, I'm starting to see him. Maybe not at the Diego Valdez that we all know and love, but he does pose something different than what Eric Sanchez can bring. And I think that the offense sometimes needs a little bit of spark. And hopefully he gets back into the form of things. But I guess to disagree with you, I mean, I did enjoy his game against Pumas.
I'm not gonna say he had a terrible game because he didn't. I just don't think he showed enough. There was moments in where he hesitated two times that I felt like a much sharper player would have made something happen and possibly score for America. The best one is the one where he has like kind of like almost a 1v1 against Padilla. Probably could have took that shot a little bit sooner or that pass could have been a little bit better. Just the decision making, I think, is it's that split second that we used to kind of praise him for.
He's just coming back, though. I didn't say he was perfect. No, I didn't say he was perfect.
I get that. And I get that.
I enjoyed his game.
I do think he does bring something to the table, and I think this is why America's system is a little bit different than what we're so accustomed to seeing last year with Diego Valdez in the number 10 role. Now we're seeing kind of two number eights, in a sense, where Chiquito and Álvaro Fidalgo kind of trade off as to who goes a little bit deeper in these runs into the box. I mean, you saw the perfect example of Álvaro Fidalgo's goal is a perfect example of what that system can bring. And so I don't disagree with you. I do think Valdez is an important player. He decided to stay and we decided to keep him on. And I want to say it's for a reason. And I want to say it's because Jardine had trust in him to come back and be that kind of crucial player, that game-winning player. And I guess what better way to show it than against Toluca and these next three Clásicos, right? You said it, Christian. He loves to play against Chivas. And if he can bag himself a goal, then, I mean, who am I to criticize him, right? So,
is it concerning that Fidalgo is tied for being the top goal scorer?
No, but I mean, it's just one of his best seasons up front. But
it's a good question because I kind of thought about it when you brought it up in the chat.
Right, like he's not known for this, and we've all criticized him for this. Even his biggest lover has criticized him for not being able to shoot at a goal and put away chances that you know a third year old can put away. I don't know. It's a little interesting because you don't see Henry there. You don't see Brian Rodriguez there. Sendejas had a hot start. He kind of died off a little bit. Still important, but he kind of, you know, he's not putting up the goals right now. But it's Fidalgo, the one that's responding, which is, it could be a positive, but I'm interested to see if anyone here or in the chat may see it as a little bit of a concern.
The way I view it is, this is just maybe the fruits of André Jardine's new system, right?
Could be. Yeah.
And that's what I think he's going for because Chiquito Sanchez has himself a couple of goals too. I think maybe he's what, like one away from Álvaro Fidalgo himself. I think he's got three goals in this season.
And two headers, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Which is pretty funny.
Yeah. It's crazy to think that, you know, but I do think that this is what we're seeing in regards to Andrés Jardine's new system where he's so reliant on just having the center defensive mid and then having his two number eights kind of fill in the gap for each other whenever they're going forward. So I just think it's that. I think we're just seeing the positives of this new tactical change. And we're seeing an evolution of Álvaro Fidalgo, right?
And I'd add that Fidalgo hasn't been this forward since his time with Solari, you know?
Yeah.
I think other seasons he's kind of more of, not necessarily a defensive mid, but he's tracking back more, he's covering more, and he's not necessarily looking forward either. And right now, I think it's like he's in the area and he's, you know, he's going to either make it or he's going to miss. And we do get used to those misses. So it is nice that he's, you know, scoring them. Even if some of them have been tapping, you know, but either way, you can't complain.
A goal is a goal.
And I do think, just to add on, I think we also got to thank Alan Cervantes' form right now because he's allowing Eric Sanchez and Fidalgo to kind of push up, knowing that we have defensive stability in the back there, knowing that he will be there to kind of, you know, get the ball back for us or, you know, track the an oncoming counterattack. So I think we do have to give Cervantes flowers for his current form right now and what he contributes to the team.
Do you guys think it's an exaggeration then when fans say they miss Jonathan Dos Santos?
I haven't.
Not necessarily.
I haven't thought about him, honestly, this season.
Yeah, I've seen some comments and I'm just like, well, I don't know if I've missed him because last season you didn't really see much of him either, you know?
Towards the end, yeah. He started getting on our nerves towards the end of the season also. Yeah. Where he became a liability in some games.
Yeah,
I think it's just two different players that are meant to play the same role, and whenever you do, you get two different outcomes. It's honestly just that, right? Mm-hmm. Jonathan can very much disrupt the play, but you're leaning on him to kind of be more of the playmaker, playing out, having control of the possession, jumping the lines like that. Cervantes is more of the disruptor that he's going to just run and tackle and just make things happen. And then he's just going to hand the ball off to his midfielder, and then they carry the game from there. So, yeah, it's interesting. But, yeah, you're right. Praises to him. And we just want to see a good America side going forward. So, I like it. But like I said, 3 points at the end of the day, a clean sheet, again, super important, super great. And I guess a great way to kind of pick up momentum and pick up motivation moving on into, like I mentioned, a very chaotic next couple of weeks and where America is just going to have to go back to back to back to back. And I guess no better way to do it than in the way that we're doing it right now. So that's America versus Pumas. Gentlemen, you guys have anything else to add on or we good?
No, we're good.
Yeah, I think I'm good.
All right. Well then, let's move on. And before we start talking the preview versus Toluca, let's talk a little bit about club news. There's a little handful of things that I want to talk about. One, the biggest news that broke from the last time we podcasted to today, obviously, was the announcement that Club America is officially going to be an Adidas-sponsored team. And this announcement was made after their celebration of the one-year anniversary in the stock market. Christian, did you buy any stock?
I didn't.
Mm.
I know Brian did, though.
Brian
unless
did for
he was
sure.
joking.
No,
he did buy?
I'm 100% sure he bought. I know he jokes a lot with us. I know that man is 100% in that stock market. But just for those of you who are interested, America stock has been doing fairly well. I mean, it was never going to be a get rich, a get rich quick coin type of thing, right? It wasn't not going to be no hawk to a situation.
I was about to say, imagine they just like take everything.
Emilio Escarra didn't go to sleep and then, you know, come back months later. But it's been performing all right. It's doing okay as far as it's tracking just the way that other soccer stocks have been going whenever clubs do end up going public. And it's helped generate revenue for the club. Specifically for the Estadio Azteca. That's where most of the money's been injected to. But promising signs. I mean, if you're a shareholder, you've seen that, you know, your stock dips from time to time. It doesn't really take a big jump, and it doesn't really, you know, make you that much money. But it's also not dipping to a form where you're losing much either. So in stock terms, you're pretty much in a comfortable stock. And at the end of the day, Christian, if you're investing in this, I think a large pool of it will be kind of businessmen trying to kind of acquire assets and stuff like that. But for just a regular day-to-day fan, it's just something to have to make you feel like you're a part of the club, you know?
I invest all my money in FanDuel. Does that count?
Not at all. Apples and oranges again. But the biggest news, I got sidetracked there. The biggest news was that America announced that the rumors were true. We are officially ending our 25-year partnership with Nike, and we are going to go with Adidas for at least the foreseeable 4-year future. I mean,
it was 25 years?
Huh? 25 years. 25 years with Nike. It's a long, long relationship that brought us half of our titles. 8 titles won under the Nike partnership.
Not including other.
Oh, not including league titles, excuse me. There we go. Let me rephrase that. 8 league titles under Nike. But how do you guys feel, gentlemen? I mean, I know we've talked about it behind the scenes, but just kind of so listeners can get an idea of where you guys are at. How do you feel? Nike, Adidas? Does it matter? Does it really matter or not?
From what we're reading, and this is all based on if it's true or not, right? We're just reading reports. I'm not too sure. Maybe you guys can correct me or not. But from what I've been reading, it seems like we have the best Latin American contract, on this side of the region, right? Because I know Boca Juniors and River Plate have a contract too.
Yeah.
But I don't think theirs is as, I guess, not prestigious, but like as... I guess you could say prestigious as ours, because when I was reading it, it seemed like we were offered elite status also. And I think only a handful of teams have that status currently, and that number will be raised to only 10 teams worldwide. And we're going to be included in one of those teams. That's if the report is correct, right? I'm not too sure, like I said, how true that is. But if true, and if the numbers that we're reading are true, from just a business standpoint, I think it's a fantastic deal. Now, we can talk about designs and all of that. Yeah, I think that's something external, right? And I think that's to each own opinion. But in terms of the club and the financial decisions going forward, if all of what we're reading is true, I think it's a great deal for us. And I think it'll benefit us tremendously going forward.
I agree. Financially speaking, it's a no-brainer. Like, from a financial perspective, and I'm someone who's very much into the America finances and saying that we need to get money wherever it is. Bring me Chinese money, oil money. It doesn't matter. Just bring me as much money as possible. From that perspective, it's a no-brainer. Adidas came in. They were knocking heavily at our door for quite some time. And they came in with a big bag and said, look, Nike's offering you this much. We're going to double it. We're going to give you elite status. We're going to give you something no other team in this continent has. And I don't know, Chris. I think it showcases how big this club is, and not just in our region, not just in North America, South America, but in the world of soccer, the globe, worldwide. Adidas, who is kind of known as the brand for soccer, is giving us our flowers and giving us our praises as the biggest club that we deserve to be.
I mean, think about it. It kind of makes sense, because think about it from a North America standpoint, right? Who are the most valuable teams in North America, right? America. And then the second was not even a team. It's a whole league, MLS. And who has that sponsor with the whole league?
Adidas, yeah, Adidas. Right?
So it makes right. sense. Why they begged and why they waited these 4 years and why, you know, all of that, why they gave us this type of deal, because no other team in this region, you know, is going to give them that pull. From a financial standpoint, MLS gives them maybe similar, but from a one team, you know, World Cup is coming and all of that, no other team was going to give them this prestige, elevation, right, as a brand, because maybe you kind of look at Nike as number one. I do think, you know, signing America to this deal elevates Adidas. You know, maybe I'm talking a lot from a prideful standpoint, but at the same time, you know, that's a lot of, again, if the numbers are true, right, because we've all had these conversations, we don't know how true it is, but if these numbers are true, that's a big investment, you know, and we've even fantasized on potential big names coming to America because of it. Because if you're going to give that type of contract for 4 years, because it's not a 10-year deal, it's not, you know, it's 4 years, you are expecting what you invested to return some way. And I do think the only way to really do that is to bring in someone big. So overall, right, it's a great deal. Again, like Christian said, it's all opinions on the design. There's some Adidas stuff that I like. I'm not a big fan of like exaggeration. So for me, simple stuff isn't necessarily a bad thing. At the same time, I don't want to look like another team, right? So I understand that mindset of not wanting to be with Adidas. But overall, you know, I do think this is going to be a very good partnership. And if it's not, you could cut the ties very quick, because it's only a 4-year deal.
Yeah, I think Adidas saw how much I spent on Club America jerseys and said, we make our money right here. Look, at the end of the day, it is going to fall on personal preference. And look, I'm a perfect example of advocating for this contract being amazing, great. And I love the fact that America was able to close something with that elevates them to such a global kind of appearance. And at the same time, I'm very upset that we lost Nike. I personally love Nike. I love the way that they treated us. They gave us very much our own space. They didn't give us generic kind of staples like here you go. They were always very good to us in that sense, right? And you would imagine 25-year-long partnership. You would imagine we'd have some favoritism in the design department. So now let's see what Adidas is gonna cook up. But personally, for me, it's a big loss because I love Nike and I love the attachment that I've grown to have it. And I think when I think of, well, why is it that I'm so drawn to Nike? It's I think America, right? I think America, and then I think of just everything. But look, honestly, if you think about it, this was coming and I just don't think we really saw it in front of our eyes. We didn't really see it. Club America is stacked with Adidas players. Henry, which is the poster child of this club, right? The captain under Adidas. Sendejas under Adidas. Álvaro Fidalgo, the kind of second face to Club América right now, under Adidas. Diego Valdez looks to be rumored to be going to Adidas as well. He's been playing with some blackout boots for the past two games. Jonathan Dos Santos, I think, is Adidas as well. It made sense. From a marketing perspective, it just made sense as well. You're not going to be able to use your captain. You're going to be able to use your second best player on the team in the marketing department. You're not going to be resorted to having to put Chicote Calderon and Brian Rodriguez and Kevin Alvarez and, you know, just those names because only they were tied to the Nike brand. Now you're going to have kind of your front forerunners in the marketing campaign. So again, it was coming, and we just kind of were blindsided by the fact that everything that was going on. But yeah, I mean, fingers crossed, and here's to hopefully an even more successful of time with Adidas than we ever did with Nike. And we did a lot with Nike, so that says a lot. You know, no pressure.
I think if the elite status thing is true, I think that we could be in for a really good 4 years. I don't know if you guys follow all these drops that the elite clubs get for Adidas, like the Arsenal drops, the Bayern drops, the Real Madrid drops. Like, some of the things that come out are pretty cool, and you look at them and then you're like, damn, like I wish America had stuff like this, right? But like I said, because they're elite clubs, so they get that special preference, like you said. They're the ones; those are the clubs that get marketed on the Adidas website for the whole world to buy. So if we're up there in that status, I think that we might get that special treatment that Nike gave us, just, I guess, a little bit elevated in a sense. So it should be really interesting. And it starts this summer. Correct me if I'm wrong, right? We roll out the jersey this summer.
Roll out the jersey July 1st, 2025, which is honestly the first time we have confirmation when a jersey's coming out so soon. I'm always having to dig through, like, sources a couple of weeks before it actually rolls through.
That reminded me of a time where the season was about to start and you were literally like, oh, they're going to show it in San Diego and this friendly and this and that. Yeah. And they're going to.
Because they had to. And then like just days, like 3 days before the league started, like, hey, here's your new jersey, guys. I'm just like, come on. You can't give us some time to roll out. This is terrible marketing.
And one thing I'll add, at least we're going to be able to get an America jersey at all these Adidas stores, because you couldn't find America jersey at a Nike store. At least here, where I'm at. You could go to an Adidas store and be like, oh, a new America jersey, I'm going to go get in. You're going to guarantee find it there, you know. So that's a plus. You don't have to order in other cases. You can just straight up just go to the store and you're going to find it there.
You know, everyone is going to be flocking to the Irvine Spectrum, Chris, at that Adidas store.
I was thinking the block.
Oh, the block too. The block too. Yeah, but
I was thinking the block.
I was thinking Irvine Spectrum just because. I don't know. I personally like it. It's just a mall. It's just a mall that's kind of. Yeah. If you live in the Southern California area and kind of closer to the OC, you know exactly what we're talking about. Yeah, I live nowhere near California. It's okay.
We'll take you when you come.
That's the clue. Yeah, that's the Club America divorce with Nike and marriage with Adidas. Let's see how this all pans out. We'll continue to report. I know there's a lot of leaks and rumors and whatnot. I think it's too early to tell. I do think that they have an idea.
Yeah, rumors, guys, because I think we can all say that like they're probably 99% incorrect 100. Of what the actual jersey is going
to
be.
Yeah, I don't think Adidas. I think Adidas is holding it tight to their chest. They're not going to release it anytime soon.
Yeah.
So, but hey.
And I doubt they'll have designs already done.
Yeah, no, I don't.
I think they might be working with a couple of templates. They haven't decided the last one, but I do think that they're
probably template. But to actually see like the colors and the. An actual little design that they're gonna put, I doubt they have.
Yeah,
I'm more excited about the collection. You know, that's where I'm more excited because the windbreakers.
That's what I'm saying. The collection is where my money probably will go. Yeah. Apart from the jersey.
Someone said, you know those wind jackets that the national team usually has, those big ass ones. You know, they're Nike never releases them, but at least you know with Adidas, you know for sure they're gonna release everything that they have. You know, they won't have. That's true. Private stuff for just the players.
Yeah, like I said, that's one of the benefits with going with Adidas, right? Is we're very hopeful that will come true, and I guess we're rolling it back to the 90s. So
I'm down.
I like it. I was young and innocent in the 90s. I like it.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, I guess like I mentioned, we'll keep you guys updated. Make sure you guys follow us over on at Eagle Eye Podcast, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. We got you guys covered on all things Club America. And interesting stuff going on there. Any other club news before we jump into our next segment?
Anyone know how the remodeling is going at the Azteca?
From what I've seen, video. It's going according to plan. It's going good. I think they might be done ahead of time, actually.
Yeah?
Well, that was expected, I'm not like by a lot, maybe by like a month at best. But from the pictures, it looks like they're just remodeling a couple of things in here and there, like the lighting, some of the seating. I'm sure they're going to work on the pitch last. But from the looks of it, it's going well.
All I know is they did cut off some stuff that was originally planned just because they got into it a little bit late, but... I mean, all that outside stuff is kind of irrelevant to us, at least, right? We don't really care about hotels and stores around the area.
Right.
So,
which I'm sure eventually will make its way, right? But not right away. So that's going according to plan. And that's pretty much what I have.
Was this official, the whole Televisa FIFA thing? Or was that just not even club news?
The whole Televisa FIFA thing?
The whole rights for the World Cup thing?
The scandal with the FBI.
Yeah.
They
cleared the name of everybody.
Innocent.
Innocent. They basically ended up saying that it wasn't, you know, it's a long ordeal. But basically, to give you guys the Cliff Note version of it, there was an investigation that, you know, Televisa did some... bribing, in a sense, to acquire the rights to the World Cups, to then distribute them and get money off of it. And Emilio Escarga was kind of put under the lighting of the FBI, supposedly, and Club America as well, just because of that. But it looks like everything got exonerated at that sense, and basically just everything was clean, right? Negotiation as usual. And... yeah, I guess nothing to worry about. So.
We knew.
Yeah, we always knew. We always knew. Everybody else in the world wanted it to be true.
Of course.
We're not Cruz Azul, all right? Our owner doesn't do stuff like that.
Imagine having to cover that, bro. Stuff like that. That would probably be the most, like,
now that's a
conspiracy
scandal.
Theory podcast that we'd have.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, then one more piece of news before we jump into America versus Toluca. So, as you guys know, the Clásico Nacional is just right around the corner. And if you guys haven't done so already and followed us over on Instagram and or Twitter, you guys would have missed our announcement. We are officially hosting a watch party in Los Angeles at the Football Boutique. Doors open at 5 p.m. If you guys haven't done so, make sure you guys RSVP to this event. And by doing so, you guys automatically get a free raffle ticket We're going to be raffling a couple of prizes throughout the night. It's very exciting. We put a lot of hard work into it, and we're just super, super excited to share with you guys in this moment. We're going to have a live podcast leading up to the game. I mean, we just have so much things planned for this watch party. And Chris, I got to say, I'm looking forward to this event, man. I'm just itching for it to start.
Yeah, it's going to be super lit, man. Hopefully a lot of people show up, you know, and enjoy. It's a classical, right? So everyone's going to have the same type of nerves. Everyone's going to be super excited. And it's cool to be able to live through that with a lot of the community.
Absolutely. Christian, you're not going to be there because you didn't want to fly out. But, I mean, your thoughts on our little watch party?
I love it. I love it. It's such a great way to bring everyone together. Definitely, if I was there, it'd be interesting to meet a lot of people, meet some new faces, have some conversations about the team, because I like to hear everyone's different perspective on what's going on. It's overall just a great vibe, right? I know you've held smaller ones in the past, right? But it feels like this one has like a different vibe to it. It should be great, and I really hope everything goes well. And obviously, we get the win in that Clásico. I know all three, but especially that one.
For yeah, absolutely. So,
it should be a great time, and I really do hope people show out and show some love. It would really mean a lot to everyone, especially Ivan. I know how much work he's been putting into this, so we're really hoping for a good turnout here.
Absolutely. And shout out to the Football Boutique for partnering up with us and yes, obviously giving us a place to come watch the game and really being in the center of LA and hopefully bringing a bunch of you guys together. And like Chris and Christian mentioned, to talk all things Club America. We really hope you guys come down. I'd love to talk to all of you guys. You guys can tell me why Armando Navarrete is probably top three best goalkeeper in the entire history of Club America. Just come and have a conversation with me. I'd be more than happy to do so while the game is going on.
Really gave Navarrete an America jersey to wear, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's crazy. But we can talk all about that and more at the watch party. So make sure you guys click on the RSVP link and you guys get all the details going right there. I will make sure to leave a link in the podcast description, just in case you're listening to this via Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And again, we're going to be heavily promoting it from here on out to the final day all over our social media platforms. So make sure you guys follow us on there. And yeah, super excited. Football Boutique, March 8th. Doors open at 5. Club America versus Chivas. You guys know where to go. All right, gentlemen. Last bit of news before we call it a night. America versus Toluca. This game has a feeling of super high importance. And am I the only one that feels that? Am I wrong? Or do you guys kind of feel the same way?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think if I'm being completely honest with you, I feel like since the Necaxa game, that's how every game has felt, right? I think we look at the calendar and we're just like, okay, this is a preparation for the next game and That's how it feels. You know, the Toluca is a super stacked team with a coach that has been a headache to us in many different ways, right? Turco Mohamed has been just annoying, whether he was with us or when he wasn't with us. He's just been a headache. And I look at this game and I think, you know, there's players that might want to get revenge for that Liguilla game, right? I think Turco always looks at us as a revenge game because of the way he left the club, right? So to me, it's going to be a super intense game. And ultimately, it's a type of preparation that we need right now for the three games that we're going to have against Chivas, because, you know, the last thing you want is have these kind of boring games, very sluggish games where you don't really get anything out of it outside of the 3 points. I think this is really a threat to us. And, you know, win, tie, or loss, you come out with this mindset of, okay, we got to work on specific things, right? Next week when we start covering the Chivas games, we're going to really highlight a lot of these things that we didn't like from this Toluca game, or we did like, because of the importance of what's coming, right? So to me, it's a very important game. It's a very important matchup. Toluca is never easy. The fact that we face Pumas and then Toluca is kind of crazy to me. And the fact that we didn't play any of them on a Sunday morning, Sunday morning for us, right? It's even crazier, but nonetheless, you know, it's always a headache to play both of them. And the fact that we're playing them back to back, and then heading into a Clásico is very good preparation, and I'm very excited from that standpoint.
I guess it helps, Christian, that this is a home game for América, right? It didn't go so hot for us at the Estadio Nemesio Díaz last season. But I guess it's a little bit of positivity of the way to spin it, right? To get revenge on that team, the way that they humiliated you in their home stadium, now you get the opportunity to do it in your home stadium. And like Chris mentioned, there's a lot riding on this game that maybe not, that holds a lot of context outside of this game. But nevertheless, it's a 3 points against a very, very important rival that is, you know, not necessarily breathing down your neck in the league, but could potentially be seen again in Liguilla.
100%. And I think that we can use this game as, basically it's like a trampoline, right? You know, we do good against this game. We get the win. Imagine the confidence going into the three Clásicos, right? You just beat one of the better teams in the league. You're playing well, you're scoring goals, this and that. And you're, you know, Chivas, unfortunately, they had just haven't had a hot start to the season. So we should use this game to our advantage and everything leading up to it. And we should implement our game plan. But this Toluca game, I'm wondering, I don't know how you guys would feel, but what if Harina decides to use the same strategy that we used against them in playoffs?
I don't think it works in this game.
Kind of the defensive structure. I know we've been a little more offensive in recent weeks, and I think I would like us to keep going at that because I think, you know, it suits us. I think, you know, we're knocking on the door, and I do think that our lack of, I guess, final third decision making, it'll come to us. But you know, we tried doing this at the Nemesio Díaz last year, and we got absolutely humiliated, right? And that's when it took Harina a little bit of thinking. How do we stop this team? And then boom, we did it. So I'm just wondering to see, I don't know how you guys would feel if we went back to that for this matchup.
So I have a question for you guys before I answer your question. Do you think there's going to be rotations because of the fact we're playing Chivas on a short week?
I think yes, but rotations not heavily.
On Wednesday.
Okay, can you guys... In order, please.
Ivan, go.
I said yes, but not heavy rotations. I think maybe max 3 players.
Okay, how about you, Christian?
I say no. I think that we see rotations in the first leg on Wednesday or Tuesday, whenever we play.
I think it's Wednesday.
Okay. Man. If you don't see rotations, I don't see that 5 back line. Honestly, I think you kind of... You play your starters this game, you see the rotations on... It's just it's tough, you know, because there is going to be a rotation somewhere, right? Because it's 4 intense games, right? So maybe not I don't think you see a 5-3-2, you know, but I do think you see some players that you don't normally see start against Toluca.
Mm-hmm. So the only reason why I think we see rotations on Wednesday is because we close the tie at home, right? We have the return leg in Ciudad de Mexico. So that's why I think that we get the rotations in the first leg to prepare us, I guess, a little bit for Saturday's game, which is the league game, and then go full force again come the second leg.
But you don't think you'd be giving up too much information playing them, what is it, Wednesday and then Saturday and then the
Wednesday.
Next game?
So actually, so we play Tuesday.
Yeah, it's Tuesday. It's Tuesday, yeah.
It's March 4th, Tuesday, yes.
But so you don't think that's too much information to be comfortable into that third game?
I mean, when you play the same opponent 3 times in a row, you're bound to give them something. That's what happened. Was it last season that we did the same thing?
Yeah.
Against them? Right?
Only,
and then
we played the league game third. That's the reason why I'm kind of like, Guerrero
right,
was a
so,
boring
but,
0-0.
To my point, though, we played them first and we, you know, we manhandled them, whatever. Next 2 games, we saw them very, very, very close because we just play each other more often. So we just know how we play. We know our tendencies. It's going to happen. But what I'm hoping is that we kind of get a result in the first leg. And then the last 2 games, just do our thing and then just show them that we are the superior team, which is what I'm hoping at least, right? Obviously, that all could change depending on what happens Saturday or what doesn't happen Saturday. But it's definitely going to be interesting to see how Jardine plays these next 2 weeks. But yes, you're right. There's definitely going to be a rotation. My guess that it'll be on Tuesday, the first leg.
Okay.
I mean, regardless, I think America is trying to prepare themselves for this kind of stretch where they're expecting to get through Chivas and continue these midweek matches against rivals in very high intense matches. So I don't necessarily think we're going to switch formations. I would see a formation change if need be for an injury or for managing a game or trying to get something out of, you know, a couple of points here or there, playing a more defensive and more structured back line. But as far as how I think America will plant themselves, I think we're going to see a rinse and repeat of the formation. Now, player-wise, I do think there will be kind of players here and there that I think will start differently. I think we're going to see a Dagoberto over a Kevin Alvarez. I think we just got to get the minute thing out of the way already.
Ropes.
I do think that... Luca. I think, and this is going to be a hot take, and I know none of us are going to like it if it does come true, but I say we see a Borja. I think we do see a Borja in this game.
Christian likes that.
Yeah, well...
not recently.
Even hit his smile, he's like...
not recently.
And, I mean, one or two... there's got to be something that's going to change up top, whether it's going to be Henry starting again,
I think Fidalgo gets benched.
It's going to be one or the other. And I think that's just...
Is back for this game?
He's supposed to be back for this game, yes. I don't think he starts, though. I think he starts against Chivas.
So, yeah, I think... it's just tough because I know that Harine prefers Cáceres, mm-hmm. and he probably Juarez would get the bench and just pair him with either Reyes as the center backs. But I would like to see Reyes and Juarez as center backs. I don't think Sebas would be at 100% anyways.
Let's do a starting 11. How about that? We all do a starting 11 and let's see how much different it is.
Okay, I'll go. Malagón, Dagoberto, Ramón, Isra, Borja, Cervantes, Fidalgo, Chiquito, Brian Rodriguez, Cendejas, and Victor Davila.
Do you want to go next or I go next?
Yeah, I'll do Malagón, Kevin Alvarez, Reyes, Juarez, Chicote, Cervantes, Fidalgo, Eric Sanchez, Cendejas one side, Brian the other side, and Henry Martin up top.
Okay, so I'm going Malagón, Dagoberto, Israel Reyes, Cáceres, Borja, Cervantes, no, Cervantes, Richard Sánchez, Chiquito, Diego Valdez, Cendejas, Dávila, Brian Rodriguez.
That's the most left field one yet.
That is the
best. Richard. I did not expect that. Diego, your striker, Dávila?
Dávila, yeah.
I guess we coincide in that. I just don't feel like this is the game for one of those two players. For both of those players, actually. No reason why Valdez and Richard
Which
should be
game
playing.
Was it where we benched Fidalgo? It was against Necaxa, right?
Puebla game.
That's the reason why I think, if I'm not mistaken, that was after one of the friendlies.
Before.
So for me, I kind of looked at
friendly.
It. So I looked at it more of a, okay, he's resting them because there's a pattern that he's trying to see, right? He's trying to rest them and then play them in that friendly, kind of treat it as what we're about to go through, where it's like we play a game and then we play that CONCACAF Champions game. That's the reason why I think Fidalgo gets benched. And I think Richard and Chiquito are going to play. And we're going to see more Richard Sanchez more of a defensive mid, which he has played before, right? Even though he goes up, but I do think that's what we're seeing. Because Jornal's not ready until what, the April?
No. He's ready in March, but after the Chivas games, after all three.
Yeah. Ones. So not expecting him. So for me, it's going to be that, and I don't
see,
think
this kind
a
of lineup. I'm predicting for Tuesday's game. Like I feel like this game is important to us. So I think we're trying to go with the best that we have right now. That's why I don't foresee a rotation right now in this game. I think that he'll save it for the first leg, just because he knows that he has a second leg where we can just go all out, how we normally been.
Watch him have no rotations and just says, you know what, we're just
yeah, and then that just yes, that might piss me off too.
Damn, Robert.
I mean, regardless of who plays and regardless of what whoever fields the pitch. America needs to get a result here. And America needs to play to the standard that we've been seeing. I mean, kind of to reiterate what Christian was asking, the reason why I don't think we see such a defensive America formation is because I don't think Toluca would press the same way. It's not the same Toluca. It's a different manager. We'll try to do different outputs. But I think this is a manageable game for America, regardless of who plays. I think you just have to be smart on the ball. We talk about the decision-making in the final third needing to be sharper. And in this game, I think if you can get yourself an early goal, right, within the first 15, 20 minutes, and then you can manage the game from there. You can actually invite Toluca to press you. You can actually invite them to have the ball because you're so well organized, even with a back four, that you're able to be explosive. And regardless of who plays, we have pace on the wings. We have pace up top, and it's just a matter. And we've seen it throughout this whole season, actually, that we invite the pressure a lot because we're very much confident in being able to defend and then being able to break. And we always find at least one or two good passes on the break. It's just sometimes we don't finish them. So
yeah,
I do think that this is a game where America can play to their rhythm and to their style and force Toluca to adapt, right? I think it's just important to see, again, a confident America, an America side that understands what they want to get out of this game and how to get it. And really, honestly, I think we just need to see how well and how organized these players are going to be because, like we mentioned, very, very tough next couple matches coming up with three back-to-back Clásicos. So I don't know what else you guys would add.
No, I mean, the only thing we could wish is just no injuries, right? Because
yeah.
I think, I don't know how you guys necessarily feel, but I do think there's like this thinness to some positions where it's just like, I'm not sure how I feel about the next guy stepping up, right? And I think Kevin Alvarez, who has been very injury prone, is where we kind of draw the line where I'm not necessarily anti-Dagoberto. I like things that I see, but at the same time, I understand the frustrations that other people have when it comes to his fully committing to the attack and losing all that, losing position, right? And losing all that space and errors. And
if it is Dagoberto, he has a tough task this Saturday.
Yeah.
He's going to have to play against Alexis Vega, who's been red hot this season.
Yeah, and then if it's Israel Reyes, the next one, it's even worse, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, right, we have to just view them as what they are, right? Three campeones, the reason why we ended up winning these three titles in a row. But at the same time, you know, have short memory and not let it get to us. But I agree, you know, that Dagoberto has been very, not bad. Well, I guess it depends, right? A lot of people would say bad, but for me, it's been just, you can see the rawness, right? And that's the reason why I always said, this is why you don't just throw a youngster out there and say, oh, here, like, learn how to swim. And it's like, well, I'm going to drown because I'm not there yet. So again, you know, he needs experience and hopefully he learns from all this, but hopefully Kevin Alvarez is healthy enough the whole season because he's more key than people will want to give him credit.
Yeah. But look, we need those minutes to be done and dusted, and I think we can get it done with this game. So I think that will start. Anything else to add on, gentlemen?
I hope we win.
Yeah. Same. I think we need it to kind of go right into this storm confident.
This was fun. I miss doing this.
Yeah. Absolutely. See,
we're here every week, bro. You'll have to miss us.
You know, we're here every week.
I'll come back next week only if the people want me to come back next week.
We'll do a poll.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do a poll.
And everyone's going to vote no, but you still got to come.
I mean, you're going to want here next week, bro. It's going to champions. So,
yeah, we gotta figure out our schedule. It's a busy week for us next week. We got CONCACAF Champions Cup at the same time that we're supposed to be podcasting. We got a Clásico Nacional and a watch party to take care of.
Christian has an Atlético Real Madrid game too that day.
Oh God!
Look at that.
Yeah, no, that's not gonna be fun for me.
The
first leg on Tuesday. It's at 8 p.m. my time. unless I'm wrong.
You're right. It's
so it would be on before we pause. So the game ends, and then we would start the show.
Yep.
Which is a very early game for we'll have to see. We'll have to work out the details. Regardless, you guys will know. Just make sure you guys follow us over on Instagram and Twitter, and we'll keep you guys up to date. Before we wrap it up, predictions.
2-0.
I love it. Christian?
2-1. I wanted to say 1-1, but I wanted to keep the positive energy going, so 2-1.
Yeah, I know. Like, come back with all this negatives.
Yeah, I'm not liking that. All right, sorry. I'm going 3-1. Bold as you can get. Then we can do it.
With rotations.
With rotations and everything.
With rotations.
Dagoberto goal.
Oh. Yeah, okay. Well, this is why I'm not coming back.
Yeah, I guess. All righty then. Well, I guess that's pretty much it. We'll be back next week. What day, what time, I'm not too sure yet. We'll talk it out with the guys. But we'll be back next week. We got a lot to talk about with the Clásico Nacional, the watch party going on as well. We'll give you guys more details in regards to that day.
I'll be back if Dylan is here.
And I'm sure he will be now that you called him out. But all right. You guys, that's it. Thank you guys again for making the time out. Christian, again, it's been a pleasure to have you back on the podcast, man.
I love doing this, man. Like I said, the stars aligned. I was able to come on tonight. Hopefully, we can be back next week, but that might be. I'm not sure. I have to double check. But I'll be here as time permits. I love doing this, man. I love chatting on Medica with the guys.
Absolutely, and we'll love having you on, Chris. As always, man. It's a pleasure, man.
Yes, sir, bro. Excited to meet you on next Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
me and Christian are gonna recreate the photo that me and Dylan did whenever we first met.
Dylan, yes.
I'm gonna race you. That's what I'm gonna have a racing story just like Dylan, where I beat you.
Yeah. Well, that story is for another time. Maybe I'll tell it on the live show about the foot race me and Dylan had back in Houston. But hey, It's been wonderful. We can't wait to talk all things Club America again next week. And make sure you guys RSVP Club America watch party at the Football Boutique in LA. All right, gentlemen, thank you again. Have a wonderful night.
What's our Twitter handle? I'll see you here.
My Twitter handle?
No, our Twitter handle.
Twitter handle? We need to get it up somewhere. I'll work on the graphic. Don't worry about it. We'll get it back up and running next week. All right. You guys have a wonderful night. Take care. And as always, Arriba America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.